Universal health coverage, everyone everywhere, and this for World Health Day, which is acknowledged around the world this Saturday, the 7th of April. Using the hashtag health for all, you can certainly do your part to advocate this message and to spread the message of achieving universal health care for everyone. Now, I spoke to Professor Pamela Naidu. She's the CEO of the Heart and Stroke Foundation, about universal health care and the steps needed for it to become a reality in South Africa.
Universal health coverage means that no matter what condition you have, you should be able to access health services for free. You know, money or a lack of money should not be the barrier to accessing health care. And so it's really quite a big advocacy drive to get all the people all over the world the right to health and the right to health care.
And this forms one of the World Health Organization's, as well as, I suppose, the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals.
Yes, absolutely. Particularly the countries that sign up for the United Nations Declaration. So what we technically say the United Nations member states. And the goal, which is the Sustainable Development Goal 3, which states good health and well-being for all ages. One of the sub-goals in that SDG 3 is actually it links directly to universal health coverage. So the member states that have signed up to try and attempt to meet these targets will also have to ensure that they do follow through on the universal health coverage.
And universal health coverage is, besides being absolutely essential in terms of development, it's also a human right.
Absolutely. It is absolutely a human right. You know, it's very well stated actually by the WHO chief, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, and he says health is a human right. No one should get sick or die just because they cannot access the services they need.
Mm. What is the situation, Professor, in South Africa regarding access to health care?
Mm. So in South Africa, I think we have come a long way. We still have a long way to go. I think it's not an ideal situation. We have unfortunately had to deal with, obviously, the historical sort of financial hardship. So when you had a new political dispensation, they had a lot of things to make right that was not right, you know, in the past due to the apartheid system and so on. While health services for people have improved overall, especially in the public health care system, I think we still need to ensure that hard-to-reach communities. So, you know, not just people who are in and around urban areas or towns and cities, but it's also people out there in the rural areas, the aged, young people, women, you know, special target groups that are often vulnerable communities or population groups. We really need to ensure that we are able to get this out to everyone, the health services.
Is there still a huge disparity between the health services which can be accessed in the urban area as to those in the rural areas?
Yes, I think while it has improved, yes, there's definitely still that disparity, most definitely. Yeah. I think part of the problem also is that the health professionals themselves tend to gravitate more towards the urban areas. So you're left, you know, with people who are absolutely dedicated to be out there in the rural clinics and so on.
Is there any strategy to level the playing fields at all?
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, Benita, because, you know, the National Health Insurance system is meant to remedy some of this. Some people think it's a very expensive plan, but, you know, it is the gold standard. It's what we should be aiming towards. I think it's just about getting the financials right and ensuring that we have an ethical private public partnership to be able to see it through.
This is Smile 90.4 FM, The Honest Truth. We are in conversation with Professor Pamela Naidu from the Heart and Stroke Foundation, talking about universal health coverage. And what services, Professor, should the universal health care include?
Well, the universal health care should include mental health services as well as any services meant, you know, for physical or medical conditions. And so it should also include what I think is really important is what we call preventive health care. So in other words, like if you want to go and have if you have a family history of, say, for example, a particular type of cancer, or you have a family history of heart disease or stroke, and you want to ensure that you're not at risk, you should be able to go into a health center that's run by government or the National Department of Health and have your blood pressure checked, have a cancer screen done, have your glucose levels checked, have your body mass index calculated so that you can know what your risk is to prevent the onset of any form of medical condition. It should also then provide services to the people who are already affected. So if you do suffer any one of these medical conditions, you should have access to essential medication. So that includes, you know, right from HIV to diabetes to heart disease to rehabilitation for stroke and so on. Having said that, though, I think, you know, it's also important we cannot be overambitious. Perhaps we can, in a stepwise approach, first look at those conditions that have a high, what we call, burden of disease. And in South Africa, we've got HIV and TB. And then we, following that very closely is actually heart disease and stroke. And so we really need to try and stem that tide before it gets out of hand.
South Africa seems to be in quite a unique position because, as you mentioned there, Professor, there's a high burden of both the communicable diseases and the non-communicable diseases. And then there are also risk factors as well for heart diseases and cardiovascular diseases, excuse me. So how does one, in terms of a universal health care theme, also possibly, as you mentioned, prioritizing care, how does one unravel this?
Yes. I think the one solution to this would be to look at what is the most common risk factor or factors amongst many conditions, you know, communicable and non-communicable diseases. Remember also that you have these what we call comorbidities. So in other words, say if somebody is has TB or is HIV positive or has any other form of communicable disease condition. Now that we have, for example, antiretrovirals to help HIV positive patients, people are living longer. And so they are then at risk to the, you know, having heart disease or a stroke, or cancer for that matter. And so there are certain common risk factors that can be measured that could be more preventive. So hypertension is one of them. Check your blood pressure. Check whether you're diabetic, because diabetes can complicate many conditions. We should be targeting some what we call behavioral risk factors. So we need to have these strong drives against tobacco smoking, for example. Or taking tobacco in any other form. You know, some people sniff tobacco, for example. And then, of course, to moderate your alcohol intake. So I think there's common things across many conditions which we should be addressing, and we should be giving those risk factors priority.
A lot of those conditions, however, are so preventable because, particularly with non-communicable diseases and how it can link to cardiovascular diseases, many of which are lifestyle related.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. In fact, the reality is that the kind of very quick ratio that is used is that 30% of your vulnerability to having a heart attack or having heart disease or a stroke is really linked to your genetic factors. So, you know, your genetic vulnerability. But 70% of the risk is linked to lifestyle factors, as you say. And these are what we call modifiable risk factors. So in other words, if you really have a good conscience about how you eat, what you drink, your good and bad habits, reduce your salt intake, reduce your sugar intake, get physically active, and so on. And even if you had a genetic risk, if you modify and live a healthy lifestyle, you will reduce that risk dramatically. So really, it is it's old-fashioned in a way. It is about living your life in a rather moderate way, you know, and not being an extremist, whether it comes to your dietary habits or any other habit.
Smart 90.4 FM, this is The Honest Truth. We're currently in conversation with Pamela Naidoo from the Heart and Stroke Foundation ahead of World Health Day this Saturday, the 7th of April. Professor, what do countries need to do to achieve universal health care?
Well, I think that, you know, it is quite a sensitive issue for most countries, particularly in low and middle income countries and emerging economies. Really, we have to be able to budget. We have to be able to budget the health budget has to be able to cater for people of all ages from birth right up to, you know, older people. And they really have to have political will. I think, you know, that is bottom line. It is about political will, because if you have political will and you have good advocacy in the country, then it's not only the health department that has to be able to provide the service. Treasury has to look at budgeting, and it has to be an intersectoral effort, really.
And how are we standing in relation to that here in South Africa regarding the goodwill and the advocacy? I think around the advocacy, we could possibly tick that box. How are we doing with the political will and the financial model?
I think that the political will is there. I mean, we've seen this with the HIV, you know, when the burden of HIV was really huge. Government certainly came to the party and did something about it. And I think that now, with more and more evidence that non-communicable diseases like heart disease and stroke, it's really going to cripple our country if we don't do something about it now, then it's going to be a problem. And I'm happy to say that I've watched our new president being physically active and encouraging South Africans to be physically active. So I'm going to take a good note out of that, and I'm going to assume that President Ramaphosa is really serious about getting non-communicable diseases on the agenda as well.
Professor, as the CEO of the Heart and Stroke Foundation of South Africa, what is your message for everyone on World Health Day?
Well, what I would urge everyone to do is to actually just move, not, you know, look at yourself. I think oneself is a good starting place to ask yourself, am I living a generally a healthy life? But also try and have the goodwill around you. So extend the goodwill to your family, to your workplace colleagues, and to your communities. And if each of us can do that, I think we can really escalate this into a much more productive country in about 20 years' time.
Professor Pamela Naidoo joining me in discussion from the Heart and Stroke Foundation, talking about the World Health Organization's theme, particularly for World Health Day, which is going to be observed this coming Saturday, the 7th of April, advocating for universal health coverage. And the professor certainly behind it.